بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا يا أرحم الراحمين، وصلى الله على محمد، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Hayakum Allah Jami'an. Welcome inshaAllah to today's class, which is the 27th class in the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam. We are studying the chapter of Tahara, or purification. And where we left off last time, we were speaking about the quality of the sifa of the Prophet's wudu, the way that he performed wudu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how it has reached us, and the description that the Sahaba preserved in an almost precise way, that they preserved every aspect of the wudu and they narrated to us. So inshallah today we'll start out with the first hadith inshallah ta'ala. Wa li Abi Dawud fi riwayatin idha tawadda'ta famadmid. Idha tawadda'ta famadmid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated that if you perform wudu, then rinse your mouth. This hadith was narrated by Abu Dawood. May Allah be pleased with him. So this hadith, it's an important hadith in the chapter of wudu. What it teaches us is rinsing of the mouth. And the rinsing of the mouth, the scholars, they say, is by putting water in the mouth and then swirling the water inside of the mouth, either with the tongue or with air, so that the water, it cleanses the whole mouth and the teeth, and then spitting the water out. This is called madmada. In Arabic, this is what the Prophet ﷺ is commanding in this hadith. Madmid is fi'l amr in Arabic, which means it's a command. And because of that, when the Prophet ﷺ commands something, what does that mean generally? That doing it, is it obligatory or just optional? Generally speaking, whenever the Prophet ﷺ, the scholars, they say that when he commands something in amr, do this, then we have to do it. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray like you see me pray, then it becomes an obligation when he commands something. So due to that, many of the ulama, they said that washing out the mouth, it cannot be left out. It should be, it's required to be done, it's an obligatory part of the wudu. And if somebody leaves it out, then their wudu is deficient, and their wudu has to be repeated. And this is a very important point. And the reason that it's important is that if we look in the Quran, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions washing the face, but he doesn't mention rinsing the mouth or the nose. So the sunnah, it explains the Quran. The sunnah has a very important role, which is explaining the Quran and making clear the ahkam of the Quran. And many people who say that it's the Quran is sufficient, there's unfortunately some people, they call them Quraniyun, which who claim that we only follow the Quran and we don't have any need for the Sunnah. The Quran is sufficient for all affairs. And they quote the verse of the Quran, وَمَا فَرَتْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We didn't leave anything out of the book. So what is the response? Of course, we see how in this hadith, the Sunnah is explaining the Quran. Without the Sunnah, we wouldn't know about the ruling of the madmada, we wouldn't know about how to perform the wudu properly. So what is meant by the Allah said he left nothing out of the book? First of all, that ayah is referring to the destiny, the things that Allah wrote in the destiny. That he left nothing out of the kitab, what he wrote in the unseen, of the aqdar, the qadr of all things. That verse is not in reference to the Quran. But in any case, the Qur'an, we do agree that the Qur'an has guidance in all affairs. But the guidance of the Qur'an might be in general. It might not come specifically, and it might not explain the details. It might be in a more of a general way, and we have to look to the Sunnah to see the complete way of doing things. How to do the wudu in the complete way, in the correct way, we have to look at the Sunnah. And also, the important thing is to the Sunnah. The Qur'an itself commands us to follow the Sunnah. So those people who say they're Qur'aniyun, that means they're only following part of the Qur'an. Because they're ignoring all of the ayahs that say, wa atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. They're ignoring all the verses that command us to follow the Sunnah. So in any case, what we learn from this hadith is that many of the ulama hold that washing the mouth is something that's obligatory in the wudu. So inshallah we'll move on to the next hadith, bi-idhnillah. وعن أثمان أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخلل لحيته في الوضوء أخرجه الترمذي. Uthman رضي الله عنه, he stated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to put his fingers through his beard. يخلل means to pass something in between two other things. And we talked about earlier تخليل of the fingers. To pass the fingers of one hand through the other is also from the sunnah of the wudu. So the Prophet ﷺ, in this hadith, he used to pass his fingers through his beard when he performed wudu, narrated by Tirmidhi. So this hadith, after we spoke about cleaning the mouth and the nose, now we talk about how to wash the face properly or correctly. Of course, we know if somebody washes their face, they have to make sure the water reaches all parts of the face. If anything is left out, then the wudu is not valid. So if somebody had a thin beard, or didn't have any beard at all, then when they wash the face between the hairline on the forehead to the bottom of the chin, and between the two ears, the entire face becomes wet. And so the wudu is complete. Allah says, wash your faces when you stand up for prayer. But what about if somebody has a thick beard? And the Prophet ﷺ, he had a very thick beard, as it was narrated. He had a very long and thick beard. So what should he do if he only washes the outer part of the face and washes the beard? The water will not reach all the way inside and touch the skin. So would his wudu be valid or not? This is a question that the scholars ask, because the hair, does it take the place of the skin? If you see what I mean, if you wash your face and then you wash the hair, does that hair take the place of the skin, because it's growing, it's covering it, just like the hair on the head? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, wipe your head. But if we have hair, then we have to wipe the hair, not the actual head itself. Somebody who has hair, he has to wipe the head. If he doesn't have hair, then he's able to wipe the head itself. So the hair, it takes the place of the head when we do the masah, right? Allah says, wamsahu bi ru'usikum, wipe your head. The hair takes the place of the head. So what about the beard? Is it the same thing? That the beard, we can wipe over the beard and that's sufficient? Do you think it's sufficient just to wipe over the area of the beard, or does one have to? Why do we have to put the fingers inside? The Prophet ﷺ did it, that's correct. Also, the wiping of the head, Allah says, wipe the head. He doesn't say, wash the head. So, we can suffice with just wiping over the hair. But Allah says, wash the face. So, wiping is not sufficient. Washing is something more than just wiping over. So, in order to really get the water inside of the hairs of the beard, the scholars, they say that one should take their wet hands and insert it into the beard. And they should start from the bottom of the hair. So that way that they can straighten out the hairs of the beard and the water will reach all of the hairs of the beard. They start from the top and they press their fingers, then it only gets the top part of the hair. So to start with the bottom and bring the fingers out, then all of the hair will get moistened, will get wet, and then this will make the wudu more complete. It will make the water reach deep inside of the beard, and then the beard will all get wet, or at least most of the hair will get wet. And so this is what most of the ulama say. Most of the scholars say that this is something that one should do. Other ulama, they say it's only a sunnah, and they say wiping the beard is similar to wiping over the khuf on the foot. When you can't wash the foot, you have the khuf on it, then you just wipe over the top. So some of the ulama, they say that the beard, you can't wash the face anymore because the beard is there, so wiping over it is over the top. But the Prophet ﷺ, what he did is he would pass his fingers through his beard, especially if it's thick, then this is something that the scholars recommend. Somebody who has a very thick beard. Somebody has a thin, light beard, do they have to pass their fingers through it? Somebody has a thin beard, like Brother Arfan, for example. Do you have to do the tahlil lihya? You don't have to, because when you wash, the water will go, it will cover the beard anyway. But inshallah, in the future, if you get a big beard, then you can pass the fingers through, inshallah ta'ala. So this is also from the sunnahs of the wudu, and many of the ulama, they hold that it's a sunnah. Okay, inshallah, we'll just go to the next hadith, inshallah ta'ala. وعن عبد الله ابن زيد أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتى بثلثي مد فجعل يدلك ذراعيه أخرجه أحمد. عبد الله ابن زيد, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was brought a small amount of water, two-thirds of a mud. A mud is about a half liter. Two-thirds of a mud is about a half-liter bottle of water, amount of water. It was brought to the Prophet ﷺ to make wudu. Like about 500 milliliters, half a liter of water was brought to the Prophet ﷺ to make wudu. So he began to make wudu and he rubbed his arms with the water. فَجَعَلَ يَدْلُكُ دَلْك. He rubbed his arms with the water. This hadith was narrated by Imam Ahmad. So in this hadith, we have the noble Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Zayd. Abdullah ibn Zayd, he narrates that he saw the Prophet ﷺ making wudu, and he's telling us how much water he made the wudu with. He's giving us the explanation of how much water the Prophet ﷺ made wudu with. And here in this hadith, he said that he was brought two-thirds of a mud of water, which is about 500 grams of water. Which is like a bottle of drinking water. The bottle of water that people drink, spring water, that's about 500, that's half a liter. So he was given that much amount of water and he performed the wudu with it. And what he did with that water is when he put it over the limbs, he would rub over the limbs, he would rub his arms. He didn't just pour it on the arm, but he would rub it, use his hands to rub over the arms. So what we see in this hadith, there's two very important lessons in this hadith. The first lesson is that the Prophet ﷺ, you can imagine how little water he used to make his wudu. Just a small bottle of water, and that was enough to do his full wudu. Some other narrations, they say he used a little bit more, like 600 milliliters, but it was still a very small amount. Nowadays, you see in the bathroom, people turn on the water and the water gushes out. So much water is wasted in the wudu. Sometimes they turn the water on and they just put the arm under the water, they don't even touch the arm. Just blasting the water over the limb. But do you see how the Prophet ﷺ, he was very economical in the use of the water, and so this is a very important lesson that we should always be not waste water when performing the wudu. It's from the sunnah, from what's considered makruh in wudu is wasting water. And water is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see how the Prophet ﷺ, he always taught his ummah beneficial lessons. He was teaching us how to conserve water and make economical use of the water and not to waste more water than is needed to make the wudu. And also what we learn from this hadith is that when one uses that small amount of water, what should they do in order to make sure that it covers the whole limb? They should rub it on the body. Because when you have only a small amount of water, then you have to press it on the skin so it doesn't fall off. The water, you can make use of it so that it covers the whole limb properly. And so this is called, what the scholars they call rubbing, or dalk. And the ulama, they say, the majority of scholars, they say this is a sunnah in the wudu. To make sure you rub the water onto the limb so that there's no missing spots. Somebody just pours the water over the foot or over the arm, there's always going to be some spots, what they call lam'a, a small spot that's missing. Even a small spot of dryness, it will render the wudu. Will the wudu be correct? If there's some dry spot, it will not be correct. So the way we can prevent that is by taking the hand and rubbing it. So we rub the hands, the face, we rub the whole face, the whole area of the face, and the arms. What about the head? Is there rubbing on the head?
No.
How come there's no rubbing on the head? Because it's just mas, right? the head, if you rub it, then it will become like washing the head. And then that will become more than the Prophet ﷺ did. So we don't want to do, we don't want to go beyond the sunnah and do more than he did. So just wiping the head, but then again the feet. Also we have to, if we use the hands, this is from the sunnah. And also something the ulama mentioned is if you wash the limb more than three times, is that good? Why not, right? Five times more? It's not good, right?
Sunnah is three times.
It's closer to the sunnah. You're following the sunnah by doing what the Prophet ﷺ did. Number two, if you use more than three times, then you're wasting more water, which the Prophet ﷺ never taught us to use more water than is necessary. And number three, it's like a kind of exaggeration in religion. And we don't want to go to extremes in religion and exaggerate. We want to stick with the way the Prophet ﷺ taught. This is always the best way. So using the three times is the best way. And also regarding this, one Sahabi, he took a very tiny amount of water, like a quarter of a liter, like half of a bottle of water, and he dipped his fingers in it and he wiped it over his body. So this was a person, he wanted to see how little water he can use. Is it sufficient just to dip your fingers and then just wipe the water over the limb? Would that count as washing? Is getting wet enough, or is there anything more than that? Okay, getting wet, this is important. Getting the limb wet is called masr, it's called wiping. But the washing is that the water has to move over the skin. There has to be some water there that moves over the skin, then it will be considered washed. Otherwise it's just wiping. Just a moist hand and it goes over the body, it's just wiping. It's not completely, it's different than washing. So the sunnah is to wash and make sure that enough water is used, that not too little water, that you just end up wiping the limb, and not too much water, that the water gets wasted. Okay, and the last thing that we learned from this hadith is that, of course, the sunnah is to make economical use of water and to rub. And this is also part of perfection of the wudu, to make sure that the wudu is perfect. Is there time for one more hadith? Is that okay? Take one more last hadith, inshallah. And also narrated by Abdullah ibn Zayd, he said that he saw أَنَّهُ رَأَى النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَأْخُذُ لِأُذُنَيْهِ مَاءً خِلَافَ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي أَخَذَ لِرَأْسِهِ. This hadith was narrated by Bayhaqi, that Abdullah ibn Zayd, he said, I saw the Prophet ﷺ when he was going to wash his ears, after he wiped his head, he took a different water in order to wash his ears. This is what Brother Ifrani asked about before. He said, I saw Prophet Muhammad ﷺ when he was wiping his head, did he go directly to his ears? Abdullah ibn Zayd, he said, I saw him take different water, then come back and clean his ears. So this is also one of the hadith that are mentioned about how to clean the ears. And we talked about last time how the Prophet ﷺ, when he wiped his head, he put his index fingers in his ears, and then he put his thumb on the outer part of the ear and washed the outside part of the ear. And he did this in the previous hadith. It just mentioned that he wiped his head and went directly to the ear. And this is something very important, because the back of the ear, there's a lot of sweat that accumulates behind the ear. And it's a very soft and sensitive part of the body. In fact, they say that if you hit somebody and that back part of the ear, you can kill the person. It's a very, very sensitive part. So if there's any cut or anything, any of that oil gets into the cut, it could lead to very harm to the person. So alhamdulillah, Islam taught us to put the finger in the ear and use the thumb to clean away that sweat, because this is a place where the sweat gathers behind a person's ears, right? So this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, to insert the index finger and take the thumbs and rotate it. He used to rotate it around the back of the ear so that he would remove any of the oil and salt and sweat that would build up behind a person's ears. And so this was what we talked about last time. This hadith is telling us What is telling us new is that he took some fresh water to do that. So which hadith is correct? The previous hadith, it said that he put his finger directly and cleaned his ear. This hadith is saying that he took fresh water to clean the ear. So which one is correct? This hadith is more correct. They're both correct. This is the best answer. MashaAllah. When we look at hadith, we always want to join. They always say it's better to try to accept two hadith than to ignore one and take the other. We try to put them together, understand them together. This is called reconciling between narration. So you're right. How do we understand both of them together?
We can do both.
When do you... Okay, we do both. That's correct. When would you do it directly and when would you take fresh water? Very good, mashallah. If you have a lot of water in the beginning, you wipe the head and there's still enough water left on the hands, so the ulama say you can go directly and then clean the ear with that leftover water and the whole action will be completed. But if you finish wiping the head and you find there's nothing left, your hands became dry, then the Prophet ﷺ, he's showing us in this hadith to take some more water and then to clean that area of the body, then to clean the ears. So in this way, we can understand both of the ahadith together and get the benefit from both of the ahadith. So we see here how Islam, it guided us to clean the ears so that no harm comes to us from any injury or any infection there. And we talked about cleaning the nose, which is the passageway of the air, so that the body, the intake of air is clean. We clean the mouth, so the food that we eat, it becomes clean. All of these things are the benefits of the wudu. May Allah bless us with the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, inshallah ta'ala. And this is all for the lesson today, inshallah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhanallah, who guided us to this hygiene and cleanliness. Subhanallah, the Muslim is the cleanest and most hygienic human being. 5 times a day cleaning himself, subhanallah. Something that we should appreciate from that Allah guided us to this. Alhamdulillah. Ala ni'matul Islam. Inshallah ta'ala. Is there any questions? Yes. Yes.
You said you can put the water in your mouth and clean it.
Yes.
3 times?
Yes. This the sunnah.
What if your mouth is more dirty and you need to do it more than 3 times? It's going to be against the sunnah?
If the sunnah is to clean the mouth with a miswak and to rinse it with every in the wudu. So if the
rinsing is just 3 times?
If there's any food left in the mouth, you have to remove it. You should remove it. Because eating the food, if somebody swallows it during the prayer, it could affect his prayer. If you swallow something, if you have pieces of food in your mouth, so the sunnah is the best thing to do is to make sure that you remove any extra food or any extra taste that's in the mouth. That would make the wudu more make one more ready for his salah, his prayer. Sometimes you eat a very hot meal or something, and all the taste of the curry and the food is in your mouth, and you're trying to pray, then it will distract one from his salah, right? So the best, to use the miswak is also part of the sunnah. So when he recites Quran and the mouth is clean and fresh for the prayer, so that's something recommended. No.
You mentioned that you have to rub the hands, the feet, to make sure the water will go everywhere.
Most of the ulama consider a sunnah.
You, after the prayers, you found out that there may be something stuck in the bottom of the feet, and you don't know if it's really before or after the salah. And
I see.
You're not sure that the water went underneath or not.
Something is stuck on the foot, like a bandage or a sticker or something. Okay. So what happens in a person if he performed his prayer, and when he sees he doesn't know if that came after the wudu or before the wudu? Mm-hmm. So the default is the earliest time before that thing got stuck on his body. So he knows for sure he was in wudu, and then something might have gotten stuck in the last known state. That he was definitely in the state of wudu, then something, he has some doubt after that, then he you go back to the default that you had wudu. This is if you have something that's blocking the water from reaching the skin. But if it's something very thin, like a piece of rice that you said, then the water can probably go underneath it, so then inshallah there's no haraj inshallah. Do your kids throw a lot of rice around the house? Inshallah. Any other questions? Allah yabarak feek, may Allah bless you with Quran and Sunnah, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam.